Thanks so much for joining us here on Northwest Public Broadcasting. I'm Anjali Dodia, and I'm joined in studio today by Dr. Jackie Wilson and Dr. Melissa Parkhurst of WSU. Can you two please introduce yourselves and tell us about this event, this program, this festival that you are starting this year, the Olson Festival of Native American Music?
This is Melissa Parkhurst. I'm an associate professor of ethnomusicology at WSU, based on the Pullman campus. And I study Native American music with a special interest in the history of music in boarding schools for Native children and in the role of music in cultural revitalization.
And I'm Jackie Wilson, and I am assistant professor of bassoon and theory, and I am a Yakima person. And so Melissa and I have a lot of shared common interests. And we came to know of this resource available at the university, the Lauren Olson Fund, which creates opportunity for Native American music to be heard on campus. And so that caused us to kind of think about what could be and what potential projects could yield as a result of that resource. And so this is the inaugural year of the Olson Festival. And the purpose is really just to highlight Native American musical creativity on and off of our campus. And so the festival this year really centers around a residency from Navajo composer and pianist Connor Chi, who is a classical musician who imbibes his Diné identity into the music that he makes and the pieces that he writes. And so he and I have had several collaborations over the long term and are looking very much forward to being able to collaborate in person.
NWPB listeners will probably be familiar with Connor Chi, as selections from his album Emergence are a regular part of our music rotation. So I think NWPB listeners will be really excited to hear from Connor and perhaps have the chance to see him perform as a part of the festival. Absolutely. If they are in the Pullman Moscow area.
We've got a lineup of several exciting events during Connor's residency over Tuesday and Wednesday, November 12th and 13th. And the first will be a convocation for the WSU School of Music and the wider community. And this takes place on campus at 11 o'clock on the 12th, November 12th, in Kimbrough Concert Hall. And this will be a conversation with Connor Chi, as well as an introduction to his music. And we will be featuring one of his videos from a set of pieces that he composed in 2020 called Scenes from Dineta. And these are piano solos that feature elements of Navajo life, and they can be things like horses or sheep or fry bread. And we will be kicking off the conversation by screening one of his videos. They're directed by filmmaker Michael Etzidi Jr., and they're beautiful. That is our opening event. Later that evening, we'll have a guest artist recital where Connor will be performing his works. That's at 7:30 in Bryan Hall Theater, the Clock Tower building on the Pullman campus. We also have a master class. Mm-hmm. And Professor Wilson, can you remind me what time that master class will happen?
The master class is Wednesday the 13th at 1 in Kimbrough Concert Hall. And so that will be, if you're interested in seeing Connor teach and coach young student pianists, he'll be doing that at that time and working with the WSU piano students. And then that evening, kind of the final event of the festival is at the Elson S. Floyd Cultural Center on campus, and doors open at 5, but the event will start at 5:30. And it's kind of a unique event. It's kind of a unique concept we've come up with. So I might have failed to mention that as a bassoonist, a lot of my creativity centers collaborating with Native American composers and how identity can be manifest in performance, and in my case, in classical music. And so the theme, I guess, of that recital is WSU faculty and students performing works by Native American composers. We also have two singers from the Nez Perce tribe And the idea is that this would be kind of an anti-concert almost. We're providing a free dinner for all who attend, Indian tacos from Indigenous Eats in Spokane and in collaboration with WSU Catering. And so the idea is not that there would be this attentive, you know, people making music and then a passive audience, but that if we're there in community with one another, enjoying music, enjoying food, enjoying conversation. And the whole point is just to be there enjoying one another. And so it's kind of a unique event. I'm really excited for that one.
As part of a blessing of the event from the people whose land we're on, the Nimiipuu community, there will be prayer offered by a tribal member and cultural preservationist, Angel Sobota, and then songs from Andre Picard Jr. and Nikia Cloud Jr. And that will kick off that evening concert.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I love that you're making it an anti-concert, as you said, kind of getting away from this idea of concert etiquette, mm-hmm. you know, that has been so ingrained in like Western classical music, you know, when there's these unspoken rules of a concert hall, it can feel like it's excluding people, or people can feel unwelcome if they don't know those unspoken rules. So it's wonderful that you are making an effort to have some kind of event that is a bit more casual and open to everyone.
Yeah, I think classical music can definitely have that aspect of, if people feel as if they don't know the rules or when to clap or what to do, that it can be alien and or feel unwelcome in some way. But I also love that this approach, in addition to addressing everything that you said, also really centers relationality. And to me, that's just so native and very much in the spirit of the festival, to be prioritizing relationships between performer and audience, the audience within one another, us and our community, us and the Nimiipuu people. So just putting relationships at the center, I think, was really part of our goal with that.
Now, here's a big question that I would love to hear your thoughts on, and Connor's thoughts too, when he arrives for the festival. Because Western classical music comes with a lot of baggage. I'm thinking specifically, in this case, of colonialism. It's been used as a tool for harm for so many communities in the Americas, I would say in particular. So based on your work with boarding schools and with other Native composers and musicians, do you think that now the blending of these two genres and musical languages, including classical, is a way to reclaim something that was lost or almost lost?
That is a great question. I'd be curious what Jackie has to say.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a big question, yeah. And I'll resist the urge to go too deeply into it. But you're exactly right. And in fact, when we look at classical music's use in the boarding schools, it was really utilized for assimilative purposes, right? And so we see this art form historically and how it was introduced to Native communities as a tool of harm. So it even present day can seem a little bit weird or odd to see a Native person engaging in classical music. But when you actually look at the trajectory of the students in the schools and how they related to music, largely we see that it was a catharsis. It was something that, just like me in my band class, you know, it gave them a sense of self, an escape, purpose, and healing. And even after they left the schools, we see the students maintaining their relationship with their instruments and with music. And so that's how we actually get the reservation bands, and like even the Navajo Nation band still exists today as a remnant of that. And so exactly as you said, I view it, and I view my relationship with classical music and the bassoon, as a act of reclamation that is a result of that lineage of resiliency and strength. And so the idea that I stand on the shoulders of ancestors who said, I can have a relationship to this instrument and to this music, and I can use it as a tool with which to affirm and promote unapologetically my identity as a Native person, to me is extremely inspiring. But you know, you make a good point that it really can't be removed from those origins. And so that's where, again, I think relationship and conversation and context is such an important part of marrying Native culture and classical music. I think you have to have both.
I think music making for young people can put in place so many protective factors, whether it's their sense of competence on their instrument or their social bonding with their peers, the presence of even one genuinely caring adult, perhaps as their band director or a sponsor for their music club. And those factors help serve and support those young people long after they're studying music in school. And one of my hopes for the Native American Music Festival here at WSU is that some of those next budding young people might attend some of the festival events and might be inspired themselves.
Mm-hmm. Part of what this festival, I think, could be is part of that reclamation, mm-hmm. where young folks might be able to see themselves represented on this stage and in this medium, mm-hmm. and see how they're able to reclaim it for themselves. So what about you? What are your hopes for the future of the festival? We heard from Melissa.
Well, we've talked about it a little bit already. We've been mostly busy with planning this year. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we have talked about is that even though this year is really celebrating Connor and drawing on the resources of the type of music we make as classical musicians in the School of Music, that it is not our vision that this will be a classical music festival, and that we will be celebrating truly the depth of Native American music making.
Oh,
and
sure.
So in future years, we've discussed having Native jazz musicians or popular musicians, more what we would consider traditional or cultural music making. And so we definitely want to have it all. And I don't see this becoming something that is solely centered on classical music. I see it embracing all sorts of genres and styles. And so that's an exciting future direction, I think.
I would say, if you're thinking of coming to this, it helps to come with as much of an open mind as you can. Connor's work is unique. And if you can learn from him directly about his pathway and the influences that he's bringing to his compositions, I think you'll find it's not like anything else you've heard here.
Connor's music is so beautiful. As you said, your listeners likely know. I've never met someone who has encountered his compositional voice and not just fallen in love. He's not a hard composer to enjoy. And I think there will be something for everyone as a part of the festival. And so we just really hope that you don't have to understand music. You don't have to be a Native American person. You don't have to be a classical musician. This is an offering to the community of the Inland Northwest. And we would really love to see as many people come out as possible.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jackie Wilson and Dr. Melissa Parkhurst, for speaking with us today about the Olson Festival of Native American Music, which is November 12th and 13th on the WSU Pullman campus. You can find out more or listen to this interview again at nwpb.org. I'm Anjali Dodia, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.